Well, good morning. So glad that you are here. Merry Christmas to you and your family, and just thank you for the opportunity to be here together and worship together and celebrate this special time of year. And so if you're a guest, we want to just say welcome. My name's Chris. I get the privilege to serve as senior pastor here at Second Baptist, and so glad that you're here. If you're a guest in person, we'd love to connect with you, know who's worshiping with us. You can do that one of two ways. You can fill out the card in the pew back in front of you, fill that out, and at the end of service, you'll have an opportunity to give that information to us, and we have a gift, just a way to say thank you so much for joining our worship today. Or if you're online, or if you'd rather do this in person, you can go to our website, sbcr.org. There's a button that says, I'm new. You can fill that information out, and we get an email just to know who's worshiping with us and know how we might be able to serve you and your family. So again, thank you for being with us. Just want to make you aware of a couple of things that are happening. Just a few announcements this morning. First of all, we will be going caroling this evening. So we have several shut-ins and some of our elderly that we did this last year, and it was such a fun time for us to be together. It was a blessing to those. It's a little bit harder for them to get out. And so we're doing that this evening. We need to leave here at 5 o'clock. We have several places that we need to go. We'll have a couple of teams. And so if you could be here before 5, 4:30, 4:45, and we'll divide ourselves up into teams and go out and spend about an hour caroling. We would love for you to come and join and be a part of that. Whether you're a church member or not a church member, you just want to go and be a part of that, we'd love for you to join us. So again, that's tonight. Please be here before 5 o'clock. We're going to leave as close to 5 p.m. as we can, okay? Next Sunday is worship only. Sunday morning worship only. No Sunday school, no Sunday night services. It is just 10:45 for our morning worship, and that will be all that we have on that day. And then the last thing I want to mention to you is that we have our Christmas Eve candlelight service at 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve. So we'd love for you to be here. We do our very best to make sure we're done by 6 o'clock. I know that is a busy time. Sometimes people have a meal together. Sometimes people open presents on Christmas Eve, all sorts of things. But that time is just a really great time. It's one of my favorite services that we do, just to help us focus on why we're celebrating and what this season is really all about. And so a couple different things going on, so just want to make you aware. Join us tonight for Christmas caroling, Christmas Eve candlelight service, and the next Sunday is morning worship only, no Sunday school, no Sunday night services, and then also no Wednesday night activities for the next couple of weeks. Okay? Awesome. Well, glad that you've joined us in worship and have been here just to celebrate with us. I want to read to you just a little bit of Psalm 19 as our focus of prayer. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse proclaims the work of His hands. Day after day they pour out our speech. Night after night they communicate knowledge. There is no speech, there are no words, their voice is not heard, their message has gone out, the whole earth and the worlds to the ends of the earth. In the heavens He has pitched a tent for the sun. It's like a bridegroom coming down from his home. It rejoices like an athlete running a course. It rises from one end of the heaven and circles to the other ends, and there is there's nothing hidden from its heat. The instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise." This is why we gather together today, because creation is declaring the glory of God. And as His people, we want to gather today and join in that song and sing, "God is worthy of our praise today." So let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore You. We thank You for Your goodness and grace. And I pray this morning that all that we say and do will bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that You be glorified in us and through us. I pray that Your Spirit would be here. I pray, God, that You would speak to us and that, God, we would leave here far different than when we came in. I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
as we sing, "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." stand as we sing Silent Night, one of the most cherished carols of all time. Silent Night.
Amen. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, and we will begin in verse 18 in just a few moments. And let me just say a word of thanks to Brother Al Ray and our choir, and it's a joy in my heart to see them back up here and serving the Lord in that way. It's been a day or two, unfortunately. COVID had caused problems in all sorts of ways, and so we've been cautious with that. And so I'm grateful for all those folks that you saw up here. They've been working hard to prepare to to use their gift this morning, and also they're planning to use that gift in our Christmas Eve candlelight service, so I hope that you'll make plans to be here for that as they will share with us again then. And so grateful for that, and just a joy for me to see and hear that this morning. So we are continuing our focus on the names related to Jesus surrounding His birth. And just the focus of Jesus' coming. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Jonathan began this series, if you will, this emphasis, this focus on the Messiah, and that Jesus is the promised one to come, and He has been promised since the very beginning. Literally, Genesis 3:15, you find the first promise that a Savior was coming. And all of the Old Testament begs the waiting of. It's the expectation, the anticipation of this promised Messiah coming. And then we open up the New Testament with the fulfillment of this promise. After hundreds of years of silence from God, and now all of a sudden as we turn into the New Testament, we have this Messiah who is promised. He is coming. He is on His way. Isaiah promises this. We looked last week at Isaiah and the promise and the fulfillment of this picture of this wonderful Savior, this detailed just description of who He is, that He is wonderful. He is the everlasting God. He is the eternal Father, and He is the Prince of Peace. And so last week we spent time looking at those four different descriptions, those four different names, if you will, of Jesus surrounding His birth. And there are so many more. There are a lot of others that we could focus on and take turns, take time studying and looking at and digging into. But those are the ones that we've chosen to focus on until this morning. And we're going to look at Matthew 1, verse 18, a very familiar passage in the promise of Jesus is coming. And then He is going to be given this name, Emmanuel. And we are going to look at what this means, the significance of this. And so I know we've been up and down a little bit this morning, so I'll apologize in advance, but I'll try to do my best and let you, after you stand this time and I sit you back down, I'll let you sit down a real long time, okay? I'll do that just for you, okay? So if you found your place, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After His mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which is translated, "God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel had commanded him. He married her, but he did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your word. God, I pray that we would hear the truth of your word. You would stir our heart. God, I pray that you would move and work in our life, that you may be glorified in us and through us. And Lord, we just love you and we praise you. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So this morning, I want to preach to you on this name, Emmanuel. And if you're taking notes this morning, I wrote down the main idea of of the topic this morning, of our focus this morning is this, is that the present of Christmas is God's presence. The present of Christmas is God's presence. I think this time of the year we need to be mindful as we are gifting things to people, we are expressing our love and appreciation to folks and giving presents. We need to be mindful that God gave the ultimate present of Christmas, and that's when He gave His Son Jesus. And so this morning, that's the main idea, that's the focus. And so the question I have for you this morning is, do you sense God's presence in your life today? This is a busy time. It is a difficult time. It's a blessing and a joyous time. There's so many emotions wrapped around holidays, but seemingly especially this holiday. A lot of folks will struggle and have a difficult time. You may be celebrating Christmas this year for the first time of someone who has gone on to heaven or passed away from this life, and it brings a lot of emotions and a lot of difficulties, and sometimes I just tend to forget that sometimes. And then we have folks who are welcoming new life into their home and into their family, and it is a joyous time. And a lot of good things, a lot of difficult things, a lot of blessings, a lot of hardships. And folks, I'm telling you, this time of year, our greatest need is to know and sense the presence of Almighty God. And that is the very reason in which God sent His Son Jesus, and they named Him Emmanuel. And the beauty of this is that this is a direct quote from Isaiah chapter 7. But the beauty of this text is Matthew gives us this account is that he defines what that is. He defines, tells us exactly what this name means. And the CSB says God is with us. New King James says God with us. That's the idea, Emmanuel. And so as we walk through this and I share with you just some truth from the idea of this text, from what Matthew is telling us here in this translation, Then I hope and pray that as you leave here this morning, that there's a greater sense of the presence of God in your life. That way, no matter the good days or the difficult days, you can face what tomorrow has should He tarry, because you know and you sense the presence of God with us. So with that, there are three key truths I want us to focus in of this idea, this name, Emmanuel. Number one, Emmanuel is divine. Emmanuel is divine. And so we're just going to focus in on 22 into 23. He tells us in 22, we don't have this on the screen this morning, but now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. He's referencing Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied this hundreds of years before anything would take place. And remember, this is the angel telling them, this encounter that Joseph has about his betrothed wife, this woman who had not yet known a man. She had not had that relationship yet. Now she's pregnant. He's ready to put her away. He's ready to get rid of her, going, man, this just doesn't add up. And then the angel of the Lord shows up and gives him direction, saying, look, she's not done anything wrong. The Spirit of God has worked, chosen to use her. And these unremarkable parents that God had chosen to bring about this remarkable, miraculous event. And so through the Immaculate Conception, we have this promise that this Son, this very Son of God, is coming. And we're going next week, Lord willing, should He tarry, we're going to look at Jesus. But now we're focusing on this fulfillment of this prophecy in verse 23. So look there. It says, see, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel. So there's the prophecy. There's what Isaiah said hundreds of years beforehand. And now notice this, the Bible gives this translation of Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. So I want to start there, God. That this, as we look at this and we focus and we think about this, that Jesus was not just some representation of God. Jesus was not just some form of God. He was not just some relation to God. Jesus is God. And he had said that time and time again. All other religions, all other ideologies in the world want to attack this very idea that Jesus is God. Because listen, folks, our whole faith, our whole relationship with the Holy God hinges on this one truth. Because if Jesus was not God, or Jesus is not God, then he did not have the ability to conquer death, hell, and the grave. He did not have the ability to be sinless, and he did not have the ability to die on the cross for me and for you. And so we've got to fully wrap our minds around and cling to and hold on to this truth, this reality: Emmanuel, God. God. And there will be religions and religious people out there that will try to convince you that Jesus never claimed to be God, that the Word of God never claimed He was God. And there is a Hebrew word for that, and it's called hogwash. Okay? I learned that in seminary. And so I want to disprove some of that just for a moment. This is not exhausted by any means, but I want to point out a few places where the Word of God is very clear that Emmanuel, God, is with us. And so John 1:1, the Bible tells us this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And look at this, the Word was God. You say, well, that doesn't seem very definitive. If you were to flip a few verses later to verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This Word is a representation. It is another idea for the name of Jesus. And so it is for Jesus. So you can read it this way: in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. And then if you'll remember back to this encounter that Moses had with Almighty God, getting ready, God's calling him, getting ready to call him to lead the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt, and this encounter in Exodus that takes place. And so this, he's walking by, minding his own business, and all of a sudden this perfectly good bush just catches on fire. Except there's something unique. It's not burning up, okay? And you remember this encounter. It says, he calls him, says, take off your sandals, for where you're standing is holy ground. And it's Almighty God speaking to him. It's the Lord that is speaking to him. And so he has this supernatural encounter with God. And he says, hey, I want you to go and lead my people out of Egypt and deliver them. And you remember this. He says, I'll go, but tell them. There's this conversation back and forth. But he says, when I go, who should I tell them? And this is what the Bible says. It says, tell them that I am who I am has sent you. The great I am has sent you. And it was this theos moment, this moment in which he meets Almighty God in this miraculous divine encounter. And time and again, in the context of Jesus' day and time and the religious leaders, for anybody to claim I am would be equal to saying I am God. There was no mistaking that, because we're going to show you, I'm going to reference some I am statements that Jesus makes. And listen, what is he saying? He is very clearly drawing a specific arrow back to Exodus, saying, you remember our ancestor Moses that you look up to, he has this burning bush moment, literally, and he says, I am sent you. And then here Jesus is, and he's going to claim I am multiple times. And you say, well, that's not that significant. Well, go ask the Jews that were there that took up the stones ready to stone him. And that was the punishment for claiming to be God. They took it as him claiming to be God. So here they are in John 6:35. And I'm going to go through them quickly, so you may just jot these down somewhere. John 6:35, verse 41, verse 48, and 51. He says, I am the bread of life. John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. John 10:7-9, he says, I am the door of the sheep. John 11:25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. John 10:11-14, he says, I am the good shepherd. John 14, 6, he says, I am the way, the life, and the truth. And John 15, 1 and 5, he says, I am the vine. Jesus did not mince words about this. He did not make it guesswork, but rather he very clearly said, I am God. And he is still seated at the right hand of the Father, declaring today, as much as he ever has been and ever will be, he is God. Colossians 2:9 says, for the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. So when you and I celebrate this week, when you and I go about the busyness of life, when you and I face the empty chair this week, or the struggle, the not receiving the phone call, listen to me, dear friend, you can know that Almighty God is with you, because listen, he declared to Joseph, saying, listen, you'll name him Jesus, he'll save his people from his sins, but he is the fulfillment of the promise from the prophet long ago, saying, you shall call his name Emmanuel, because God is with us. That was a good place to say amen. Are you awake this morning? Good night. I'm trying up here, all right? But God is with us. Emmanuel. And so you know this morning that Emmanuel is divine. He is God. Number two, Emmanuel is present. He is present. So look at this again, verse 23. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son. They will call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. So first we focused on God, and now I want you to focus on with. God is with us. First, we focused on his divinity, that Jesus is God. Secondly, we're focusing on his presence. He is present, but the idea here is his humanity. Some way in God's infinite power and ability, this little baby comes into the world. And on the one hand, he is holding eternity in his hand because he is fully God. Yet, at the same time, that hand is flesh and blood. Fully human. How in this small baby that we celebrate this time of year is he fully God yet fully man? Can I just be honest with you this morning? I don't have the slightest idea. I don't have any fancy illustrations to help you wrap your mind around that for it to make sense. All I know is that is very clearly what the Word of God teaches. And I know that in God's sovereignty and God's goodness, and for you and I to experience salvation and the presence of God, the only way that is possible is we had to have a Savior who was both fully God and fully man. The significance of this name cannot be overstated. Emmanuel, God, is with us. The presence of God. That Jesus always has been. See, Jesus did not begin existing 2,000 years ago. Like, it's the day we celebrate, you know, it's a time we celebrate his birth because that's the time that he took on flesh suit. But you've got to understand, Jesus always has been. And Jesus always will be. But from the beginning of creation, when Adam and Eve, Grandma Adam and Grandpa, other way around, Grandpa Adam and Grandma Eve sinned against God, passed down a sin nature. But at that moment, when they sinned against God, there was an eternal separation from God, because the Bible says our sin separates us from God. And at that moment, realizing that they were lost without a substitutionary atonement, without a sacrifice for their sins, without redemption, at that moment, it took divine intervention from a holy God, and the plan A from the very beginning was Jesus would come as a baby, fully God, yet fully man. He would live a full life, being sinless and perfect, and being the spotless lamb of sacrifice that you and I needed. The Bible speaks of His humanity. I already referenced John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed this, His glory. The glory is the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Bible tells us in Luke 2:52 says, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with people. How was He fully God, yet He increased in wisdom and stature? I'm not really sure, but it points to His humanity. Hebrews 4:15 tells us why we needed this Savior, this God is with us, this Emmanuel. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. See, friend, you can know the presence of God this morning because God came down and put on humanity. And the Bible says He was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. In John 4, He was tempted. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. After 40 days of fasting, He was tempted. And we see that He goes, and the Bible says this, Hebrews 4:15, yet without sin. Discouragement and pain and heartache. You remember, He wept over the city. He wept over His friend who had passed and His family weeping. We see Him that He is weeping in the garden just before His crucifixion. All of that is important because, friend, you can know and experience the presence of God, and you can face the difficulty of the day when you have a relationship with Emmanuel. God is with us. 1 Timothy 2:5 through 7 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind. Listen to this, the man Christ Jesus. The only one that could be a mediator had to be fully God yet fully man, and that is exactly who Jesus is. He lived a sinless, perfect life. He died on the cross. And He is a high priest. He is the ultimate go-between because His divinity allows Him to enter into the Holy of Holies, yet His humanity allowed Him to conquer sin, death, hell, and the grave so that you could have salvation. And He is the bridge. He is the mediator. He is the fix between you and a holy God. And it is only through Jesus. It goes on in verse 6, who gave Himself as a ransom, look at this, for all. Every person in this room, we have an equal problem. Every one of us have the same problem, and it is a sin problem. Sure, there may be some of us in this room that are less guilty than others, if you will. You maybe have a shorter sin list than I do, but then there are other of us in this room that have a lot longer sin list. And sometimes you have folks go, man, I'm not that bad of a person. I pay it forward. I do all these sorts of things and on. But the reality is the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a single one of us that hasn't sinned against God. And it doesn't matter whether you live 75 years, you find a cure for cancer, and you tell one lie in your life, that is sin. And one sin, because of the holiness and righteousness of God, is enough to separate us from Almighty God. But this is the very purpose in which Jesus came to die. He came to die and to save all sinners. He says right here, a ransom for all. And there may be some in this room going, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I've done too much. And let me be a source of encouragement to you. Two things. Number one, I fully believe if God can save me, He can save you. And number two, there's no such thing as somebody who's sinned so much that God can't save. Did you catch this? I'll teach you a Greek word this time. Look, who gave himself as a ransom for all. You know what that Greek word means? Hold on. It means all. I know that's really profound, all right? You're going to impress people this week. You learned a Hebrew word, and a Greek word for all means all, okay? Make that note. Don't forget it, all right? But a ransom for all. You, your family, your son, your daughter, your grandchildren, Jesus came to die for them. And His divinity and His humanity enabled that. I'll finish this and finish verse 6 and verse 7 of 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says, a testimony at the proper time. For this I was appointed a herald, an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I am not lying, and a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Hey, let me just hit pause here and speak to you, those of you that have a relationship with Jesus. I hope you just caught what Paul was telling Timothy, that he is a messenger to tell this story. Hey, listen to me, moms and dads. Listen, look real close. I need you to look right here. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your children. They're not too far gone. Jesus can save them. Grandmas and grandpas, don't quit praying for your grandkids. Jesus can save them. Jesus came to provide a ransom, not just for the good ones, not for just the ones that we think can figure it out, not just for the ones that we think are smart enough, but rather the Bible says that Jesus came as a ransom for all. And He finishes this word to Timothy, says, I am a herald of this. I am one to go and tell people about this message of salvation. And so number one, Emmanuel is divine. Emmanuel is present. Number three, Emmanuel is personal. Personal. Notice the language here in verse 23. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. I don't know about you, but there is something that sets this apart, and it becomes personal to me. And it is personal to you. No other religion, no other faith in the world teaches that you can know God in a personal way, the way that we know and believe the Bible teaches. So not only do you have this little baby that comes in the world, he is fully God, yet he is fully man. And as he grows and as he lives his human life here on earth leading up to the sacrifice, what is going on? He is with the people. Listen, this is God. He had every right to separate himself. He had every right to create an entourage to lay out wherever he went, and easily could have done that. He could have called legions of angels down and they would have announced his presence everywhere he went and laid out the perfect road for him to go everywhere he went. That easily could have been him, but that's not what he did. What we find Jesus doing, he is hanging out with the down and outers. He is hanging out with the nobodies of the world. He is hanging out with the criminals and the prostitutes. He is hanging out with the tax collectors and the crooked. He is hanging out with the people. Why? Emmanuel, God is with us. The religious didn't like it. the spiritually arrogant were irritated by it. Why is he hanging out with them? Doesn't he know where they come from? Doesn't he know who their parents are? Doesn't he know their sandals come from Dollar General? Like, they're critical. But here Jesus is. He comes, fully God, yet fully man, to be with the people. And you need to know this morning, that Jesus is fully God, he is fully human, but he wants a personal relationship with you. With you. And he promises his presence among his people. Share with you a few verses here. I want to come back to this, but Matthew 28:20 says, "Teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you." This is the end of the Great Commission. "And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Psalm 145:18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call out to Him, all who call out to Him with integrity." Romans 8:38, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Friend, I want to challenge you this morning. I started with this question of, do you sense the presence of God in your life today? And if I can just be real honest and real frank with you, every one of this in this room, including myself, are as close to God as we want to be. Because God wants to be close. He wants to be active in our life. He wants to move and work and know that you and I have a sense of the presence of God every day, moment by moment. And the reality is, if we find ourselves in a position going, "Man, I'm not as close to God as I once was. My relationship with Jesus is not as strong as it once was." The reality is that you and I have to take a really hard look in the mirror. Because here's the reality, is that God has done everything that He could do to have a personal relationship with every person in this room. He gave all that He could when He gave His Son Jesus. And Jesus lived a sinless, perfect life to provide salvation. And not just to save you from your sins, but to be Lord and Master, and listen to this, and friend. He wants a personal relationship with you. And if you're like me, you're sitting there thinking, how in the world can God want a relationship with me, knowing all the things that I've done? But dear friend, He knew all the things that you would ever do long before He ever stepped foot on this earth. Because He's God. And He knew everything that you would ever do when He's living His life as a perfect, fully human, fully God individual. He knew everything that you and I would ever do when He's in the garden crying out. And He knew everything that you would ever do when He's on the cross. He knew everything that you would ever do when He cries out, "Tetelestai, paid in full." And He knew everything that you would ever do when He got up from the grave and He ascended to the right hand of God. And He knew everything that you would ever do when you would sit here today and hear this message and go, "Won't you believe on Jesus, repent of your sins, and place your faith and trust in Him?" See, because as cheesy or as lame as you may think it is, what God wants for Christmas is you. Your total surrender. Your total life for Him. And you can leave this place knowing that you've got the presence of God in your life when you surrender your heart and life to Jesus. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, I love and adore You. And God, I thank You for each one that's here. I pray, God, for any of those this morning that God, You're dealing with. Your conviction is on them. They know they need to repent and be saved and trust in You for salvation. They know they need to give their life to You. God, I pray this morning You would give them boldness. God, I pray that the strength in Your Spirit You would give them right now to call out to You for salvation. God, that they give everything to You. And if that's you this morning, I'll lead you in what we call a sinner's prayer. But understand this, words of a prayer have never saved anybody. It's attitude of your heart. If you pray and mean with all your heart for God to save you and forgive you and be the boss and master of your life, the Bible says God will save you. You can pray something like this. Say, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come to my heart. Wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. I'll go where You want me to go. I'll do what You want me to do. And I'll be what You want me to be. I give everything to You. Totally and freely and without reservation." While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you prayed that this morning and you say, "Pastor Chris, I prayed and asked God to save me and forgive me my sins this morning, and I'm not ashamed. I asked Him to save me." Would you just look right up here at me? Say, "Brother Chris, I prayed that and asked God to save me this morning." God, I pray in these next few moments that, God, we would just respond to You at work, respond to You speaking to our heart. God, help us to be sensitive to Your leadership in these next few moments, I pray in Jesus' name. You remain attitude of prayer. This front is open for you, this altar, this place for you to come and kneel if you want to pray. You need somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. Maybe God's dealing with your heart about something. However the Lord leads you, come.
Trust in His presence. Stay.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here. Let me say again to you, Merry Christmas, and I hope that you and your family have a great time this week and enjoy hopefully being able to be with family or celebrating however it is you're able to. As we get ready to depart in just a moment, we will have some of our men near the doors as we get ready to leave here. It's just an opportunity for us to be able to give unto the Lord. If you'd love to be able to give, that's between you and the Lord. We're grateful for you to be able to be here. We are taking up our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We have set a goal of $7,000 to give toward that Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and just a really special offering that God uses in a great way. And so we've just asked our folks to take one of those offerings and pray about what you would give above and beyond your regular tithes and offerings. And so And then we've just challenged our folks here towards the end. Challenge us to be able to be faithful to give through the end of the year, and that God would use that for His kingdom and His glory. So, again, no Wednesday night activities. Be back tonight a little bit before 5 so we can, we've got a couple different groups we'll send out to be able to go sing some Christmas carols. That'll last about an hour. I think it is going to be a little bit chilly, so you make sure to dress warm. Arkansas winter showed up for a day. It'll be gone tomorrow, but showed up for a day. Not really winter, but just cool. So anyway, all right, hey, let's stand, and hope you will be able to be with us tonight. If you can't, hope to see you on Christmas Eve at 5 or next Sunday. Sunday morning worship only, okay? Let me pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, you're gracious and kind. God, thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus. Thank you for Emmanuel. And I pray we would live this week as if God is with us. And Lord, we just love you, praise you. Pray that we give in a way that brings honor and glory to your name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.